World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I had something really weird last night. I didn't even tell Michelle. I slept like a baby, really. Well, they say wake up every 5 minutes and cry. I really had a good night's sleep, but I had something, really had a bizarre thing going on. I'm going to try to jump into with us today, because I really don't know the truth. I mean, I really don't know. And I wonder, maybe you guys can help me walk through this thing here in a second. man, a lot going on. I was just opining before we went live right here, the criminality of the American government is literally off the charts, isn't it? It's off the charts. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is anybody going to do anything about it? Remember, the Lord loves judgment and justice and judgment. The Lord loves justice and judgment. And we're in a position in America today where we think judgment is revenge. Judgment is revenge. Remember, mercy follows justice. Mercy follows justice. And what that means is this: you cannot forgive somebody until justice has been done. If you find somebody who's, let's say they stole my car, and we go on a manhunt and we finally find my car, and they bring my car back, say the police come back, say, "Coach, we brought your car back. Brought your car back. We got your car." And they say, "Not only did we get your car, Coach, we know who did it. We know who did it. And here it is." Now, at that point, me as an individual, I have the ability at that point to say, "Brother, I forgive you. I forgive you." But I can't forgive him. I can't give mercy until justice is done. What is justice? It's returned to me. Car's been returned to me. I've been made well. Must be restitution. I've been made well. Now mercy can follow. Now I can say, "Okay, look, I've been made well. Everything seems to be okay. I forgive you, brother. I forgive you." However, the criminal justice system has to run its course. I want you to know I personally forgive you. Can the judge forgive somebody for something they did to me? No way. The judge can't get up and say, "Well, we forgive you. You can go." Well, they can. And I can also, by the way, I can forgive them and still hold a grudge, which is really where a lot of us are. But unless there's mercy, unless there's judgment, there can be no mercy. Unless justice is done, there can be no mercy. And so the question that I ponder this morning as we all join here together on the 11th day of February is, will there be justice? We know the stuff that is coming out through DOGE is it's teeth rattling. The stuff that's going on, the money that's been wasted, the lies that have been told, the advancement of the Luciferian agenda right under our eyes with our tax dollars by our elected officials, a big muckety muck of Republicans and Democrats, muckety Christians. A conversation last night, I won't say who it was with, and a person said to me, "Are you listening to me?" Talking about what's going on with this church. I'll show you a little bit of the stuff on there. And he said something to me. It's pretty profound. Are you listening? He said, "I think I trust Christians less than anybody." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah. When somebody tells me they're Christian, my antenna go up." Because he said, "Some of the biggest ripoffs I've ever had been done to me by Christians." Are you listening? Are you listening out there? "Some of the biggest ripoffs I've ever had been done to me by Christians," this person said. And he went on and on and on, rattled on a little bit more about, "Well, what about this? They just want your money. And, you know, Christians are supposed to forgive, and Christians are supposed to be generous. And everywhere you look, Christians are, they're ripping people off. They're not running their business like they're Christians. They say they're going to do this. They're going to fix this for you. And then they half-ass fixed it for you. He said, I'd rather have some atheist tell me he's going to cheat me than a Christian come. And I think I'm going to trust him because I got a cross on their hat. And then they rip me off. Somebody say amen out there. And you know what? I didn't know what to say. I didn't really know what to say.
Amen.
Part of it was popping up with this whole thing. I'm going to show you here about the local church that's have 11 people now who have said that they've been they use the term SA so it doesn't get blocked, sexually abused. 11 people at this big mega church. And it's not unusual, is it? See the shysters? And this person started rattling off for me. He started naming names. He said, how about the Creflo Dollar? Huh? Yeah, I didn't know he knew who Creflo Dollar was. He said, oh, yeah, what about Benny Hinn? What? Started rattling them off. So those guys are all just money grubbers. They're all just money. That's all. Is that what Christianity is? Money grubbers? And they lie to you and tell you to send in money and you're going to get money and you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise if you give to their ministry. So where do you find that in Christianity? Does anybody have an answer for me? I didn't have an answer. He said, when I read in the Bible, you're supposed to give. You're not supposed to accumulate things. In fact, he said, the Bible says that the rich man can't make it in to heaven. He quoted to me. Rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. By the way, the eye of the needle was when you entered into the city. They had what they called the eye of the city. It was an opening. When they said it's easier for a camel to go through, meaning the camel was loaded down with bags and everything in it. And it was hard for the camel to get through that eye because it was loaded down with stuff. Right? Okay. You get that picture? Trying to go through a door and you can't get through the door because you're carrying so much stuff with you. Door's not wide enough. And Jesus says it's easier for you to for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And money, 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 everywhere you look in American Christianity. Betty, give me a thumbs up. Somebody out there, give me a thumbs up. So here's a guy, as far as I know, not a believer, and said, Well, I'd rather work with an atheist, he told me. Can anybody give me an answer on that one? How would you answer it? Would you rather work with somebody you knew might rip you off? That's why those of us who wear this cross hat, we have to be so above board. We have to, dare I say it, go the extra mile. Spend the extra $10 to make sure the customer's right. Don't try to cut corners. Legally, maybe you can do it. Don't try to cut corners. We do that a lot, don't we? We do it a lot. And so after I'd had that discussion, I was kind of dumbfounded because I looked at my wife and I said, I can't really argue with him. What do you say? What do you say? The people I trust least are Christians, he told me. How'd we get here? See, Bible says we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Hey, Spencer, pull up that church. I've known about this for about 2 weeks. And I haven't said much about it. And I'm not going to say much about it. Okay, I'm not going to say much about it. I want you to know that it finally hit the news yesterday, big news. I'm not going to read the whole card. This is a church that sits on the edge of Licking County and Knox County. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to you guys, but it's kind of on the county line. It's right, really kind of on the county line. And it's a mega church. See how sharp you are. What are most mega churches about? Anybody, how do you get to be a mega church? Can somebody tell me how you get to be a mega church? Wait a minute, hang on. Hey, Pastor Dale, do you get to be a mega church by taking people to the abortion clinic? Do you get to be a mega church by taking your people to stand out at the gay pride parade? Do you get to be a mega church by going to the school board meeting and chastising the school board for allowing? How do you get to be a mega church? Am I know?
It's prosperity preaching.
Prosperity preaching. Not money, 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 right? And that's what this guy said to me last night. The church is all about money. It's all about money. Joel Osteen, he rattled off names like trees, right? right? And it is. Why? I don't know, but it is. It is. And this church has been my experience. Look, I would call them. I don't want to talk behind their back. I would call them and have them on with me, but they probably wouldn't. They wouldn't come on here. So it's hit all the major news medias here in Columbus. It's a pretty big media market. We're the 12th largest city in America. So it's hit all the media markets. It's now hit the local paper. Can I tell you something? Here's what's wrong. So they reported it to, here's the theme today. You with me? Why would anybody want to be a Christian? No, that's not the theme. Why would anybody want to deal with a Christian? That's the theme. That's the thing. So we find out that this mega church, who have different campuses, and I was talking about that the other day, different campus. How do you have different campuses of a church? Yeah. This has been a notorious name it, claim it. Well, I could show you a picture, I'm not going to, of him having his hands, the pastor having hands laid on him by Kenneth Copeland. Dare I say more? So all of a sudden, it starts about 3 weeks ago, whatever. Licking count, this church has been accused of SA. I'm not allowed to say that. The S would be sex, and the A would be abuse. But you're not allowed to say those two terms, so they just use the initial. They've been accused of SA, okay? And people are coming out of the woodwork, at least 10, maybe 11 victims. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me a second. I'm not talking about this church. I'm going to show you how screwed up we are. So, these 11 victims are now coming forward. It's been going on for about 2 weeks. I haven't said much about it. And you know what we find out? Dave Yost. That name doesn't mean anything to most of you, but he's the Attorney General of the state of Ohio. Attorney General. And when evidence was brought to him by victims of SA to the Attorney General of the state of Ohio, do you guys know what he said? He said, oh, gee, I have a conflict of interest. I can't investigate that. What? Yeah, they're my friends. They're my friends. I've had meetings at their house. I can't investigate them. So rather than saying, we're going to get to the bottom of this and we're going to investigate, I'm going to pull myself back. I'm going to, what do they call that when somebody pulls themselves away from it? I'm going to recuse myself, but my office will continue to investigate. He just didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. And so then they go to, well, maybe the local, maybe Knox County. Let's go to Knox County with these SAs, with these children. Let's go to Knox County. And what did Knox County say? Huh? Anybody know what Knox County said? Oh, we can't do anything about it. She's a commissioner. She's our commissioner. Sheriff, we can't investigate her. I'm not making this up, friends. So this flounders back and forth for 2 weeks. And finally, Licking County, where I live, Sheriff Thorpe, I put enough pressure on him. Sheriff Thorpe says, okay, we'll do the investigation. We'll do the investigation. So there's an investigation going on with supposedly 10 different victims have come forward. How do we get messes like this, folks? I go back to the conversation I had with the guy who said, I trust Christians the least. I've been ripped off more by Christians. How does this happen? Now, I casually know the pastors, husband and wife pastor. Hang on, family ministry. Children involved. You know how churches are now, family ministry, right? We build a church and the son's the youth leader and the daughter's the girl leader. You know how that's. So that's what it's one of those. And for probably, I don't know this. I probably don't know this. I would assume probably pretty good people. I think they're probably pretty good people. They build a large church, campuses with a prosperity message. How do Christians bury this? If I'm on the outside, I'm looking in, I ask myself this question. How do they not protect children? How do Christians not protect children? Well, I see how it begins, right? They discover it and say, well, we'll take care of it. I'm not saying this, but what if they said, I don't know. I'm just thinking like the world here, right? We'll give them $10,000 and tell them we're sorry, and maybe that will go away. Anybody think it's possible that could have happened? Impossible? And then what do we find out? Anybody who brought it up was sort of excommunicated from the church. We're allowed to talk about it. Pastors told everybody, stay off of social media. And here's this guy I'm talking to yesterday. He said, Christians are the most corrupt people in the world. So they're the most corrupt people? They don't do anything they say they believe. How do you answer that? How do you answer that? You know what I said? I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm pretty honest, aren't I? I'm pretty honest. So yeah, but you're kind of the exception. Most Christians aren't honest. Boy. Anybody listening out there? Anybody listening? The world's looking at us, and what do they see? Money, money, money-grubbing Christians. Money-grubbing Christians. Instead of doing what the Bible tells us to do, if your brother falls, you walk an extra mile with him. Christians bend over backwards to help those. We don't run from it. We don't cover it up. We don't say, bring us more money so you can get richer and let them all up. We'll pray for you, brother. Be filled and be warmed.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth here today. I'm inspecting myself here this morning. Do I come across like that? Do we all come across as of money grubbing, self-righteous, holier than thou? Do we? When we see stuff going on, we cover it up because that's my buddy. The Attorney General. Look, folks, do you understand this? The Attorney General of Ohio recused himself because of his friendships with the leaders of the church. Now, I don't know if there's an attorney in here today. That's probably proper. Really, probably is that he would do that. But then not do anything else with it? Why wouldn't the Attorney General go to another local police or recuse himself or whatever? Say, they're doing something to children in that church. Somebody, I'd love to, but I can't. You know, it's a dilemma. I thought about Alexander the coppersmith. You guys are familiar with that? I'm not real familiar with that. It's in the book of Acts. Paul said, the Alexander the coppersmith has done us great harm. Anybody out there, what was it? Anybody out there know what it was Alexander the coppersmith did? Can anybody tell me what Alexander the coppersmith did that caused them great harm? Because the truth is, this church has caused the gospel great harm. If this is true, it may not be true, but it doesn't look good. You don't have to find it, Spence. That's okay. Can I say this? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. This is Paul when they're locking him up. That's a good assignment for somebody. Somebody find out what was it that Alexander the coppersmith did to Paul. Because Paul obviously carried a little bit of a grudge. He said the Lord reward him according to his works. Paul wouldn't say, oh, bless him. I forgive him. Bless. No, Paul didn't say that. Nope. You know what Paul says at my first answer? I'm thinking about that first child that came forward and reported the essay that was going on. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. And I pray that God may not be laid to their charge. Can you imagine? I'm talking to all of us now. Can you imagine that you were aware of a young child being abused and didn't do anything about it? Brushed it under the rug, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. Now, here's the great harm. What does this do to the people that go to church there? And love that as their church, and their friends are there, and love their pastors, and love their elders, and loved it all. What does this do to them? Where does judgment begin first? You don't have to answer. See, if we don't get it right, those of us who carry the name of Christ don't get it right. How we expect the world to. And here's this guy I'm talking to yesterday and says to me, the worst people I deal with are Christians.
Most dishonest,
corrupt people I deal with are Christians. Okay, I'm going to quit talking about that. God, see, here's another dilemma. Think about all the people. Stop a minute. Okay, Lord, I heard that. Folks, are you looking at me? The prosperity gospel is wicked. It is wicked. Because the prosperity gospel only feeds the selfish desires of your heart. That's all it's about. It's all about getting more, being healthy, wealthy. That's all it's about. It's a fleshly gospel. And it's pervasive in America. It's pervasive. So, what do we do? See, do I pray? Should my, first of all, I'm not going to be one of those people say, someone get some feedback here, producer. Thank you. I'm not going to be one of those people say, oh, well, I'm going to pray for the victims. That's a waste of time. How can you pray for the victims? What does that even mean? You're going to pray for the victims? I'm going to pray for them? How about defending them? How about seeing the perpetrators brought to justice? Pray for them? Let's get a prayer chain going. Pray for the victims. You man, for you to know to do good and not to do it to you, it is sin. You knew it was going on and you kept going to church there? You heard the rumors and you kept going there? So as I sit here today, maybe you guys can help me. How do you pray in this situation? Thousands, thousands of faithful Christians going there with their conscience, in my opinion, conscience seared by money, loving their church, loving their church family, loving their pastors, to find this bucket of slop dumped in the altar. How do we pray? Do we pray that it would be exposed? Do we pray? How do we pray? Do we want justice? If the Lord, justice and judgment, mercy follows justice. Do we want justice? Shouldn't we be praying that those who did it are brought to justice? Shouldn't we? And is that? I wonder if those are the prayers going on at that church right now. That justice will, Lord, wherever the truth is, give us the truth, Lord. Do you think that's the prayer? Or is the prayer, oh, Lord, please protect us. Oh, Lord, protect us. It's such a wonderful ministry. Oh, Lord. Huh? Some of the worst people I deal with are Christians. This person told me. What do we do? I got some more stuff. I'm going to get to it. What do we do? What do we do? The local police will not deal with it because she is a county commissioner. The attorney general of the state of Ohio knew it and wouldn't deal with it because he's had dinner in that house. I wonder if that's going on in Washington, D.C. at all. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, everything you've mentioned, I'm not even going to speak about that church. What I'm going to speak about is, you read that Alexander the Coppersmith? So we could go back and read that line and say, the Department of Education did our children much evil.
Amen, brother. Huh?
We got the
How about this? The prosperity gospel did me much evil. Huh?
We got to say everything you've been saying. I've been sitting here thinking about it. And every sentence you've mentioned, I can tie it to school board, teachers, Nobody in the community wants to go in there and say nothing. Well, I know that teacher, and I know that principal, and I know that superintendent. Oh, that's why we don't say anything about
what's good people. They're good people. Yeah, but they did wrong. They did. They're good people who did wrong.
And every school board.
Hey, Jeff, hang on a minute. Hey, Jeff, why do they hate Elon Musk? Why do they hate Donald Trump?
He's exposing.
He's going to expose it.
Yeah, but every school board I've spoke at, four of them in this county, four schools. Everyone, I could almost say this 100%. Every one of them school boards, all five of them on each school board, 20 of them, go to a church locally and say they're Christian.
They cover, don't they? They cover for the system.
And I've asked them that in the meetings. I said, listen, you all say you believe in God. You all attend a church locally. Why are you letting these children be harmed in here? And then I'm the bad guy.
Jeff, I got a better question. It's going to hit home with you and me, okay? Why do you go to a church that preaches a prosperity gospel? Can somebody explain it? Can you somebody explain it to me? You give $10,000 and the Lord's going to give you that. What? And you know what? Those places are filled to the brim. But nobody's at school board meeting. Nobody's at the abortion clinic. Oh, no. They're all down there at the name it, claim it shop.
Boom.
That's modern American Christianity, folks. This church is chief among them.
Nobody was at the commissioner meeting either.
Yeah. She's a commissioner. She has a meeting today, and odds are she doesn't show up again. Laura Ann, come on in. Hang on a second. Folks,
yes, sir.
I'm not naming names. I'm not making assumptions. I'm reading what I've been seeing. I saw what was in the media. I saw it was on the TV last night. I'm just reacting to what I see. And are the people at that church, are they enraged? Or are they feeling sorry and praying for their pastors? Which should it be? They were deceived. Evidently, they were deceived. You're not mad when you get deceived? This guy I was talking to yesterday, I don't want to deal with Christians. Send me atheists. Go on, Laura Ann.
Okay, buckle up. Well, I'm sure Julie Royce wrote a report on that.
She did. She did.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. And she's local here in Chicago.
Well, hang on, Laura Ann. I want you to know I've known about it for about at least 2 weeks, maybe longer, and I haven't said anything because I wasn't going to start throwing stones. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had seen it. The problem, this is in my experience, right? This is the problem. The church is just a business, and they do cover-ups, and it just reflects the culture in the and what our government looks like, right? Everything's a cover up. Right. You have a shadow pastors, just like we have shadow government. It's church government, church leaders. Christians are the cruelest people. Some of them are, not all of them are. And in my experience, when I was even pregnant with my daughter and I was single and I was alone, I prayed to God and begged him. I begged him so that people wouldn't even know that I was pregnant, that he would hide my pregnancy so I didn't have to be ridiculed because I came back to the church after my sexual sin. Mm-hmm. So I would
have been happier if you'd have killed it, Laura Ann. They'd have been happier.
Well, I was told to kill my daughter over and over and over. So the death was thrown on me. It was thrown on her. I had literally had my mom's boyfriend look at me and tell me, well, maybe you'll get lucky enough to have a miscarriage and you'll fall off of a curb like my wife did. And you can have a miscarriage. And I'm Italian and from Chicago, and I lost my Christianity at that point. Mm-hmm. But I told my daughter, since the moment I found out I was pregnant with her, my number one thing for her was to protect her, to keep her safe, and she was wanted and she was loved. And I would lay down my life for her, and it would be my life before hers, always and forever. I would protect her. But what the church has done, and then they criticize me and made fun of me, and they make you feel worse. So it's not a hospital for the sick, right? Because no. I am saved, loved by Jesus Christ because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not with the people in the church. Because it was based on that, I would be like Gandhi. I would turn around, walk out, and say, I wouldn't want anything to do with you, because they're the most unloving, ungrateful, and all of it. But they cover up all the sexual sin because at the end of the day, it's about pride. It's about money. And it's about reputation instead of laying their life down for their kids. Why do you think they're allowing kids to be carved up?
Like the guy said to me last night, the last person I want to deal with is a Christian. That's what he said. Moving on, Laura.
Exactly.
Randy, go. Go, Randy.
So, Coach, has the church's message been a little bit off? I would say totally, Coach, because if you read Psalm 89:14, who talks about righteousness and justice, that's my number one verse. That's my baby. I preach it every day. That is the face of Jesus. He embodied that, Coach. That is the identity of Christ right there. So when the churches, and they haven't preached that, they've preached another gospel, okay?
They would rather
bless Israel as bless Jesus.
Amen, brother. Huh?
Okay, and that's what we see in the government, Coach. It goes right out from the church, from the community in the government, and that's what we have. We have a system that does not understand that God loves justice and righteousness, and that where that isn't present, there is no throne. There is no Christianity really there. It's all something else. And
subtle,
that's
man.
What you're
it's
showing
subtle,
us.
Randy.
Coach. Amen. Amen.
The devil's subtle, huh? Oh, he makes it look good, right? Why wouldn't God want you to be healthy and wealthy and have a lot of money? Why wouldn't he want you to? Huh?
So, Coach, a godly church.
Right? That becomes the message.
So, Coach, a godly church, if they were right, they would, as soon as they see a sin, they would say, look, we're having a church meeting. Everybody, we're going to bring this out. We're going to get it out in the open, and we're going to deal with it and bring some justice and righteousness to this so that we can move on and be the image of Jesus. But when you cover it up, which is what the soul loves to do, I don't want anybody to know about my sin or somebody you love that more than you love truth and justice and righteousness. And that's just the way it is, Coach.
Randy,
gotta change.
Randy, the last thing I want to do is deal with a Christian. That's what he told me. Dave Allison, come on in. Did I lose you, Dave?
Oh, sorry. I put my hand down rather than took my mic off. So anyhow,
okay.
So it's a travesty what's going on there, and unfortunately, it's all too common. Not just in the church, but as we see in the schools. But, Coach, I don't see a problem here.
Hey, Dave, you know what the church is going to say, right? Smear campaign. The devil's after us. Go ahead.
No, I think the guy that perpetrated these things is probably going to be brought up front and probably thwarted because he named them and he claimed them. I mean, what's the problem here? Hey, yeah. I seen something I wanted. I named it and I claimed it.
That's right.
So, Coach, and there's some sarcasm there, and I don't mean to make light of the issue because it's a travesty. But after the show yesterday, I thought about something, and I'm still in research. How many times, I got to ask everyone out here, how many times did Jesus actually tell an individual, I love you? How many times did he do that in Scripture where he looked at an individual and said, I love you? He expressed his love through his actions, right? And that's how we perceive that as love, by his actions. But yet, all we talk about in churches, all Jesus is love. But they don't see they can't put the things together that Jesus is calling people to repentance. He showed people how to live, what to do. And this is a problem. We've got so stuck up on this love thing. It's destroying the church. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, Spencer, see if you can pull up for me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul. Oh, wretched man. Paul, the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Who End of Romans chapter 7.
What? Say it again.
Romans chapter 7 towards the end of it.
7. Huh? The Apostle Paul, the progenitor of the early church. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Meaning his body, his bed. What? I thank God through Christ. Bring up the whole chapter, Spencer, if you will. Romans 7. And then go down to 24 and 25. Hang on. Go back up, buddy. Keep going. Now then, It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that'd be all of us. I know me. I'm talking about me. There ain't no good thing inside me. There ain't none of it. For the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, it's hard, man. It's hard to do good. It's hard. They won't notice. I'll just overcharge them $10. They won't notice. That's carnal. For the good that I would do, I don't do. Paul's saying, but the evil, which I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. Now, if I do that, I would not. There's no more that I do it. It's the sin that's alive in me. This carnal nature of sinful guy it's inside of me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is still present with me. It's a carnal nature. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. I really want to follow the Lord, but man, there's a war against the law of my mind. That's why the Bible says, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body. I can't say no to sin if I know I'm going to get away with it. I can't say it. See, they thought they would get away with it. All wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking. The thief thought he would never get caught. The guy went out on his wife thought he would never get caught. The guy that was looking at underage porn never dreamed he would get caught. If he knew he would get caught, he wouldn't have done it. But see, you're already caught. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what it is. It ain't none of us. The Bible says there ain't none righteous. No, not one. It's only through Christ are we, as Tim would teach us, endued with righteousness. It is given to us. We stand before God ugly, dirty, with righteousness endued upon us. Ain't nothing that we did. So I'm going to say this. Be leery. I'm just telling you the truth. Be leery of, how do I say it? Be leery of family-run ministries where the dad's the pastor and the wife's the pastor and then the son's the co-pastor or the pastor or whatever, and then the daughter's the pastor of this, and then the other child's the pastor of this, and then the cousin's the pastor of this. That is exactly what we're dealing with at this place that we're talking about now. It is inbred. Inbred. It's a family business. Just bring them right on in. Oh, hey, I get it. Hey, listen, let's hire you. We'll hire you as youth pastor. We'll hire you. You can be youth. We need one. We need one. We know we can trust. We'll hire you. You be youth pastor. And then you find out he's dinging the girl. Oh, what do you do? Pay him off? Look the other way? Fire anybody who questions it? Don't go. They said from the pulpit, stay away from social media. Why? I know, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? See, I understand. I do understand. My heart goes out to them. This was, according to what we're seeing, their son. Hang on. And if statistics, if what they're saying is true, their son committed sexual sin against their daughter. Now, I'm a dad. If my son commits sexual sin against my daughter, can I tell you the truth? I'm probably not. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna handle that in-house somehow. But I certainly, once that happened, would not have made my son youth leader. And then it happens again, and they hear it. It's a tough situation to be in, isn't it? It is. In fact, one of the comments I heard them say was they didn't want to pit one child against another. I get it. Father's heart, I get it. How do you pray in a situation like this?
I can do that.
Well, hang on a second, though. How do you? Because if it's true, they know what's about to come out. How do you pray for them? Do we pray that it comes out? Do we pray for the destruction? So, see, the wages of sin is death. It's the consequences of sin. Can I tell you this? They're probably as good a Christian as you, really. They probably are. They probably do love Jesus. He gives them all kinds of stuff. Why wouldn't you love him? But when the moment came where yin met yang, they couldn't pull the trigger. And I'm just telling you this, I don't know if I could have either. But look where it goes. It's tough, isn't it? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Started out as a little fox, didn't it? Lauren wanted to pray. Go ahead, Lauren. Hey, Laura, do they call you Laura all the time or Laura?
You can call me Laura. It's fine. It's just Laura Ann's my professional name.
Gotcha. All right. Go ahead, Laura.
Lord God. You are the vengeance, says mine, and you said you will not be mocked. And as difficult as this situation is, you exposed and protected this little girl, because we don't know how long it's been going on. But you do, because you've been there, and you're in the middle of her shame, and you're in the middle of her pain. And Lord God, it's not about pitting one child against another like Cain and Abel. It's about protecting a little girl who was violated. She was assaulted. She was raped. And I use harsh words because it's the truth. If people want to sugarcoat it, she was assaulted. No, she was raped. In her very own house with the people that she was supposed to trust. And in a place that's supposed to be your family, which has just become an orphanage. Of foster care parents that represent this world and Satan's family, not yours. She was not protected, but you are protecting her. And Almighty God, with your mercy, your grace, your love, your peace, and your truth, wrap it around this little girl. And I don't know how old she is, but she's still your little girl. Restore her peace, protect her peace. Give her the joy of the Lord where she can praise you, that in the middle of this storm, she will have a testimony because she will say, I know who protected me, that I have overcome in the blood of the Lamb. And the word of my testimony is God the Father exposed the truth. As difficult as it is, to protect me, to keep me safe, and to not let anyone else harm me again. And by her raising her voice for those who are appointed to die, because there's a lot of girls and there's a lot of boys like her that need this voice raised so that she can protect the next one that's coming up behind her, because there's another one. And her voice just may have been what protected it, because she told. And thank you for the people that are listening to her. Bless them. Help them to be able to come alongside of her. Lord God, we claim and we proclaim and we move in the gifts that you have given us in healing, that you will heal her in such a way that she knows that she's clean and she's pure in your sight, in your eyes, and Satan cannot steal her life. The enemy tried to come against you and tried to come against her, and you have protected her and you have delivered her out of the hands of the enemy. And we thank you for doing this. And this, and her brother, Lord God, you need to move on him too. Maybe he fall into repentance instead of hiding behind pride and denying the truth, and just like what David's son did to his sister. Lord God, may it not be the same outcome, but may life be breathed out of it. That Tamar's brother assaulted her. And this boy also assaulted his sister in their very own home. Lord God, do what you need to do. And thank you for places like this where we can come together with one voice into the courtroom of heaven and pray and intercede and plead that your love would be fall down and bring comfort, because your arm is not too short to save. And will you please bring the spiritual parents that are called by your name as a mother comforts her child? Let that spiritual mom be able to comfort this little girl. And Lord God, may your peace just be her rear guard, her front guard. And may she know how deep, how long, how wide, how high your love is for her. And we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the legal teams. We thank you, Lord God, for the people who are believing. We thank you, Lord God, that you're exposing this. And we thank you, and we're grateful, and we enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise, no matter how hard this is. Be moved with compassion, because this girl and this family are sheep, and this church family are sheep without a shepherd. Shepherd them. Lead them to your still waters. Comfort them in this valley of the shadow of death. Prepare a table before their enemies. And may you breathe the Holy Spirit's power, strength, and life into this horrible, horrible situation. And thank you for exposing the truth, the lie with the truth. And we look forward to how you're going to restore, renew, and bring revival in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Spencer, if you could bring the article back up. I was listening as Lorianne prayed. Folks, there's at least 10 victims that have come forward. It's not just one. It started with one. It's now as many as 10. And who knows how many others haven't had the courage to come forward, right? Craig.
Well, I document this under Saving God's Children. Maybe Spencer bring that up. That's why I have predators that are apprehended, because it says, you know, it's worse than you think. Yeah, maybe he could bring that up. Yeah. And what I do is I go around and I just get articles. I don't get them all. I mean, I could probably put another 6 or 7 church articles that come out every week. But if you go there, you'll see that's under Get Involved. Get under predators apprehended there. Spencer up top, and it will come up, and it just documents all the predators right there to, yeah, right under Watchmen under the wall. Click on that.
Run from mega churches, folks. Run from mega churches. We'll say it again. Run from mega churches. Keep going, Craig.
Yeah, no, you can just, each one of these is a news article. Okay. And if you just click on it, you know, the first one here starts with a pastor. And of course we got Diddy. Now we got Disney employees. You got the Crombie and Fitch CEOs, you know, you have down here on a former Texas church leader, you know, Coach, the average pedophile has 70 victims. So it doesn't surprise me there's not going to be more if you go off that statistic. And then, you know, that's why all this information is for people to do. And then, you know, if you go back to the homepage there, Spencer, We have victim stories. You can listen to actual victims talk about their experiences. And about 45% of people who are human trafficked are either by their parents, through their adopt CPS, through their boyfriends, through their uncles. You have to watch what's on here. You will be amazed. And then, you know, the next question is how do you address it? You have to talk about it. And, you know, we're not preaching sin in the church anymore. I would put a dollar on it that it started with watching pornography for this
pastor. Why would you ever go to a church where the pastor doesn't even know who you are? Folks. Oh, I know why. Not a whole lot of accountability there, is there? Not a whole lot of accountability.
Oh, yeah, and so, thanks, you know, the technological pornography on your phone in the back room, that's, you have to talk about it, address it, and you need to block it out. Because once it comes into your mind, you can't have the mind of Christ and the mind of pornography coming through your eyes. That doesn't match.
Amen. Amen. All right, I got 5 minutes. I want to switch gears here a little bit. First of all, I want people to know this. I grieve for that church. I do. I know a lot of people who have fallen prey to the prosperity message. And I'm going to tell you this. People go to church where the prosperity message is being preached. Go there to satisfy their own selfish desires. It validates their love of money. That's all it does, friends.
Boom.
Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I'm going to tell you, that church, that is the root of that church. Financial. It is. And they got different campuses. They write books. They sell their own books. They made a lot of money getting people to make a lot of money. Oh, yeah, they did. Is the prosperity message in the Bible? Yeah, I think it's probably in there. It probably is. It's certainly not the way they're doing it. And if a church is drawing a big crowd, I'd be asking myself why. That's for sure. Come on in, Angie.
Hey, Laura Ann, very powerful prayer this morning. That was awesome. I do want to mention, because you talk about how much money flows into these mega churches, they are recipients of government grant money all over the place. I mean, that's really where that root of corruption comes in, right? So it's really humbles me on your best interest as a church, if you attend these churches, is to look at the books and find out who is funding your church. Because I'm telling you, churches like the one we're speaking about, you know, they brag about having $53 million in assets. Well, how is that possible? It's insanity. So, you know, there are government monies flowing through these churches that need
Angie,
to be rooted out.
She said the wife, yeah. Folks, who's the county commissioner, made a public statement that she manages at their church $53 million. Didn't she say that, Angie? She manages $53 million. The pastor who is the county commissioner. $53 million. I wonder if they sent anything down to North Carolina.
Wonder.
I'm probably didn't, huh?
I mean, I know
they're tied in with.
I know souls that go to that church. That is definitely one of the questions I want to ask them. I haven't talked to people in this. I've been kind of delicate stepping around it because, I mean, they love this church, right? Like it's a foundation for them, and these souls are having it ripped right out from underneath them, and it is
Yep. Tied in with Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts Amway, there I said it. Randy, come on in.
Coach, I think it goes back further than that. I think that the message they preach, that you never hear anything about sin, you never hear anything about conviction, and people, they commit these sexual sins, they look at porn and they do things, and that's where it starts. If they would hear this from the pulpit once in a while, like, hey, God's watching you, you better do what's right when no one's looking. If they would preach this more and about the opposite, about how to be successful and get money and God loves you and all that, that's true too. But there has to be the balance, Coach. And they don't hear the other side. They're not.
They wouldn't have a big crowd. Hey, you preach a feel good message. You get to be proud.
You guys can watch later. Yep.
Roger, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. It just goes back to one thing, is that the type of Christianity today that people are pushing is not what it was before. How many people do you hear? I got saved 20 years ago, and okay, if you got saved 20 years ago and it was dramatic, what's happening now? You know, because the person who saved 20 years ago is going to have the same experience today. It's going
to
be.
So, Roger, here's what I wonder, Roger. I wonder how many small churches this church emptied. I wonder how many small churches this mega church emptied.
Yeah, the small churches, a lot of them, they don't have a lot of stuff going on, but I've been to a lot of small churches, and everywhere I went, it's like all they had was retired people. There's no kids there, no family, you know, and they said, oh, we're just a bunch of retired people together, you know. That's not church either, you know.
So, Roger, tradition. How can you have I'm just thinking out loud here, okay? I've just got a couple minutes left. How could you pastor a church and not be culturally active in your community? How could you do it? If we're the salt of the earth, how come we're not being salty? How can we call ourselves a church and not be visible and hated in the community? I, for the life of me, I can't understand that. Oh, I do know why. Because if they put on the paper that your church, ask Bill Dunphy, your church was out protesting at the strip club, while the media is going to be the next day, going to be there at your church the next Sunday, and the people going to your church, they're going to leave because they can go down the street and they can go into name it, claim it, and hide.
Amen.
And nobody will say anything to them.
Amen.
And so the media comes and put the spotlight on Bill Dunphy because his church was out speaking out against the strip clubs. And why did they do that? They wanted to make sure that no other church did it. You better man, it's going to be you, baby. It's going to be your face on TV. You want to keep doing that? Oh. You want to keep fighting sin? We're going to be talking about you. We're going to be visiting your church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, before any of these people got elected, we were at a meeting with Bernie Moreno. They gave me the microphone. I asked Bernie. I said, why don't you stand up and give us your biblical moral values when you run for an office? Why does nobody do that? Because he told me in the hallway, he's a Christian. Born again, blah, blah, blah. So when I did that, that was the last question of the meeting. Bernie addressed it, and he did a pretty good job. He came back to me on it. But when I asked him that, he looked at me and said, wow, that's a good question. He stalled for 2-3 minutes, and he came back to it. But he did come back to it. The place applauded. 200 people in the room, judges, state reps. So at the very end, I went over to grab my free hot dog. Guess who come darting across the room straight to me? The one right in the running for commissioner. Walked up to me and she says, well, I just want you to know I've been fighting this fight for 14 years because I was talking about the church coming out and doing something in the culture. I looked at her and all I said was, stop chewing on my hot dog. I said, and what have you done about it? And boom, she darted. She bolted. Whenever I started talking to a bunch of women, I said, there's my answer.
Yeah. Hey, folks, look. You looking at me? I got more to go. Judgment starts in the house of God, right? It starts with, if we don't get it right in the church, the world ain't going to get it right. And the church has become, I'm sorry, the world, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and the world has become the sugar of the church. The church is so worldly, and the world's so churchy, you can't tell them apart. Can't tell them apart.
That was a mic drop right there.
Thanks. And here's the truth. We ought to all go to that church on Sunday and just look around at the people who are still there supporting this mess. Alexander the Coppersmith has done us all great harm. I'd rather deal with a pagan Christian. That's what my friend said. See you tomorrow.